So truth, right? So we make sure that we spend on what we need, what is needed first, and then the rest, the want, come afterwards, right? So and it's a very good principle that we can use in life. How many of you have met somebody new during the 4 minutes break? Is that good? That's good, right? So you get to know each other. Right. One of the reasons is good because as soon as we finish the meeting, people, 2 seconds, we're out the door. So we need to just to get together a little bit more. All right. Okay. Turn your Bible with me to Romans chapter 12. And we're just going to pray before we go into the Word. All right. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to bother me all the time. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Right. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the word we're about to receive. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. We're so grateful, Father, that we live in a time and age, Father, that we can have freedom in this place, in this nation, to read your word freely. We thank you, Father, that we can speak of your word. We can gather and have communion with your word, God. And I, Father, I pray that as we open up the scriptures today, that you will also open our eyes, open our hearts, and give us a bit more. And I pray, Father, that we will receive from you more than receive from man this morning. And we pray that the spirit of revelation and wisdom will come as we go along, Father God. And speak, Father, louder than my voice in the hearts of men and women this morning. In Jesus' name. Eh? You agree? All right. All right, let's move on. All right, you have your Bible? Romans chapter 12. We're going to do this chapter this morning. All right? Hey, 35 minutes. All right. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, that includes sisters in the Lord, man and wife, okay, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Wow. How many come here this morning, your body want to lie down, but you just want to, so you're offering that sacrifice to get up. Right, and it's good thing to understand that. So, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let me say this a little bit. This, when I was preparing this, when I'm getting this message that the Lord just happened just to say, okay, I want to do this, I want to talk about this, right? And I stopped struggling. You know how sometimes when you know you're going to be on the platform, you're going to preach, like, you, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to, but I stopped that long time ago. I just trust God. God, if you don't give me anything, you know what? We just do the worship whole Sunday. If you give me something, then we talk about it. If you, what's the point of me talking if God doesn't, you know, lead a guide? So, and I realized it was like Saturday morning. I just said, okay, tomorrow I'm going, my mind said, tomorrow you're doing, tomorrow you're speaking. I said, trust God. And then the Lord spoke this to me. And I realized when he said this to me, it's, there's two kind of people I'm talking to. And I hopefully that you will understand this message. There's one kind of people who are just, you know, going around, just do whatever, going everything. But there's another crowd of people who say, God, I'm tired of that. I don't want to do that anymore. I want now to go when you tell me to go. I want you, if you send me out, I'm stepping out by faith. I don't want to keep going around this normal, regular, you know, and it's time for me to do something different that I've never done before. And it's like there's a desperation of walking stronger, deeper. You understand what I'm saying? And this message is a beginning of someone who's just not just want to be saved and hallelujah, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. That's a crowd that we, this message is not for. But if somebody say, God, you know, when that's fine if that's who you are. But when I look at different ways of how God ministered to people, when Jesus was dying on the cross, there was two men. One still mocking, even he's dying. He say, oh, you know. But the other one said, Jesus, I believe. And Jesus said, you'll be with me today. So we're looking at what it means today. What it means today, right? Does it mean tonight, before the sunset, or, you know? So we're looking at that. But then I realize that anyone who come to know Jesus, even like 2 minutes before they go, if they receive Christ, we believe by faith they are saved. But then that's not your situation, because if that's you, you will not be here today. So why are you here? Because God has a purpose. God has a plan. And you, if you receive Christ, you know the parable that Jesus said, that the kingdom of God is like this man, he's the owner of a field, and he go and he hired workers. He hires some in the morning, and then he hires some in the afternoon. And at the end of the day, they all receive the same wages. And so some people say, that's not fair. And when the parable say, well, the owner can do whatever he wants. It's his money. Somebody worked for half an hour. Somebody worked for 8 hours. He paid them the same. But it's like almost give you the picture. God give whoever been there 25 years in the faith, somebody's 5 minutes in the faith, God still give him the same. You understand? But what's the difference? The difference is, some of you who God has a plan, and his plan was not for you to have 5 minutes salvation on earth and then go, which sometime it happened. But some of you, you have 25 years walking by faith, by in his grace, in his love. Why? Because God has a plan. And the Bible talk about the parable of the kingdom, that someone find this pearl, this treasure, they go and they sell everything and they go and they buy this land, they find this pearl, right? So, if you're here, you are in this place, and we are in a transition of like letting go of the things that is not, and growing for the things that God put in our lives, right? Okay. All right. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? On the practical side, how do you renew your mind? You go into surgery. No, that's not, you know, some people call, oh, you're going to have a brainwash. No, it's not that, you know. How do you renew your mind? Right? By the word. And word that sometimes come out from the mouth of God, it's also word from the scriptures, from your Bible, but also word that come when the Holy Spirit speak to you. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit will come, he will reveal to you things that I cannot tell you right now. And if I have, there will be not enough book to write. You imagine if Jesus have to tell everything that's going to happen the next 20,000 years. You know how many scribes we need to make copies? And remember, they don't have a printing press. They have to write it one letter at a time. That will be enormous, tremendous work to do, right? But thank God, you know, we have what God wants us to know. Today. And okay, so how do we renew? Right, Ephesians 4, verse 23. Don't turn, I'll read it to you. It says this, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4, verse 23. Renewing where? In the spirit. So your mind has a spirit. You have the natural mind, your intellect, your wisdom, but your mind also have the spiritual mind. And God said that mind, that spirit need to be renewed by renewing the spirit of your mind. How many of you realize when the first time you realize Jesus came into your life, suddenly there's like, boom, just light shine. Suddenly you realize, oh my goodness, I was living in a bubble, and suddenly the bubble burst and there's like, and I, you know, the spiritual world is much, much bigger than the physical world. You understand that? If God opened your eyes right now, you'll see we are not just this group of people here. You realize that we are much more crowd in this room. Right? You understand that? Remember Elijah? When he was, I was the only one. God said, no, open his eye. Whoa, where did this army come from? Where are they? You know? Exactly. And then God said, I have people that I have reserved as prepared that they have never bowed their knees to Baal. And we in this place, and the scriptures talk about, you know, in the assembly and the witness of the heavenly hosts. And I believe when the church is a place where we're just not us, but there's more bigger than that. So the renewing of your mind. So when we look at situation, we just don't see, okay, this is what happened. There's not only $5 in my bank account. You let God open your eyes and see there's more than that. Right? Some of you, your faith bank account has minus $2. I'm just kidding. All right, so let's move on. Don't talk to me later, okay? Right, Titus 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. He says this. He saves us not on the base, but you know what? The Holy Spirit just told me. Somebody need to hear this. Somebody need to hear that. Your faith bank account is on the minus side, and God wants to increase it. Don't be bankrupt. Don't put your faith bank account on the bankruptcy. And you need that message. All right? Okay. Thank you. God, thank you. All right. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saves us not on the basis of deeds, a good work, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Let me say this again. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit as well will come and renewing our mind. Your mind has a spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come and help us wash. How can you, okay, you know what? I'm getting a lot of goosebumps here. How many want to wear the same clothes you wear 20 years ago? Not even having it washed? That's not good. Thank God that we understand now that our mind can be washed, can be cleansed, can be changed, can be all the things. But how many like that? Oh my goodness, this is good. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not because you've done good thing. That's what he said. Not on the basis of good deeds, of righteousness, but by God's mercy. It's by his grace. It's freely by his grace given to us. He will wash and regenerate all the generation that, and God will come and just cleanse that, renewing by the Holy Spirit. Okay. And why do we want to do that? Because we don't want to have a mind who carries so many burdens and sorrows and tears and too much. We can't do this. It's too much. And what's the benefit? Let's keep reading. So that you may prove or approve what the will of God is. That's a good thing. What is God's will in your life? Unless these things take place, you will state, am I going around the circle again? And Moses, where's that promised land you've been promises? Is it, are we there yet? Have you seen that movie, Are We There Yet? Some of you feel like this movie is your life. Are we there yet? Right? And when he says this, that you may approve the will of God, what it is, but which is good, only then you will definitely know God's will in your life. And Jesus said this word. I'm very, very serious about when Jesus says something, especially in the four gospel, that he said, those who do the will of the Father, those one I will call brothers and sisters. Let me say it again. Those who do the will of my Father, I will call them brothers and sisters. Okay, so not being negative, but what about those who do not? Hello? What do you call us? I don't know. Cousin? Nephew? Uncle? No, not brothers and sisters. Maybe, but I don't want to be cousin. I don't want to be grandpa. I don't want to be, you know, that's too far. I want to be close. Some of you want to be grandpa, but I don't want. I want to be brothers and sisters with Jesus. Right? Okay. So, that you is good, acceptable, and perfect. Good, this thing, That is good. Everybody say good. Acceptable. And perfect. How many like this? Good, acceptable, and perfect. If your mind is renewed and the Holy Spirit washing things, you don't have to carry this thing. You know what? I learned this morning that I can choose to think what happened yesterday, what happened last week, what happened in the last 10, 15 days. That's too much. That is enough. And some of you are carrying that is 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. Don't. Don't even carry for the next day. When the sun go down, God rises up with the sun of righteousness. There's another day. So let's renew our mind every day. So that you know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Are you God talking about, I can live a perfect life? What did I say? Oh, yeah, that's what you say. Perfect life. God, I don't know how to do it. Well, son, renew your mind. Let the Spirit come. Okay? Are you sure? Yes. Are we kidding? Do you want that? How do you want that perfect life? I'm not talking about you being, there's nothing, you know, but God say that you will know what is the perfect will of God. Good and acceptable. God has designed life to be good, acceptable, and perfect. God's will is perfect. And if we don't look at this, guess what? If you don't want to look the 100% perfect, you look at 90%, then you will achieve less than 90%. That's what some companies succeed when they want to succeed 100%. That's when they give 100%. And God wants us to look at this perfect, and it's not by our deeds. It's by His grace, His mercy, we can have this kind of life. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. For through the grace God given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself and he ought to think than he ought to think, but to think so that as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. That's one of the first things. In other words, humble yourself. Don't put yourself in this place. You're not supposed to be there, but come down. Not highly or what you think. That is a very good principle. Even you know better, you know better. Sometimes you say, hey, you know what? These people, I can't, you know, this is not my crowd. And God said, well, do you have a reputation to lose? Oh, yeah, if I hang, no, you know, sometimes God wants us to go. Change things. That's one will of God. Right? Okay. That's a measure of faith. Second one is sound judgment. And the measure of faith, sound judgment, this is something that I can tell you what, it's huge. Huge, especially in the body of Christ today. A lot of people has a lot of talent, a lot of gifting. They can prophesy. They can quote scriptures. They can have all the knowledge and the doctrine that you need, but they do not have sound judgment. And I tell you, we get into trouble. You know? It's almost like you have the zeal, but without knowledge, it's nothing. I want to drive this plane, God. This is my desire. And you sit in the cockpit, but you have no way of how to fly this thing. Next thing you know, you're going to crash. There's no sound judgment. So sound judgment is to make decision, better understanding, better friend. And that's what God wants. God has wanted us to have a better life, understand people better, listen to them, and without have this attitude of, I'm this way, you don't understand. You know, we need to come down. Right, measure faith. It's not only to face and defeat every mountain that is facing you in your life, but to walk where God wants us to walk. So a lot of people, they look this mountain of faith be removed every only when difficult time, difficult situation arise. Now I need this faith right now, God. Speak to me about this situation. This mountain is laughing at me every day. That's not just that moment. Faith is also to walk even when everything is blossoming. everything is prospering around you and everything is peaceful, just keep that measure of faith growing. Verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same functions, so we who are many are one body in Christ, an individual member of one another, realizing we are members one another. And if we have this understanding how we function, I tell you what, unity in the body of Christ is very important right now. Very, very important. You can be good at doing something, but if you cannot walk with unity, you cannot walk with understanding, you're going to cause a lot of hurts and damage unnecessary. And a lot of time we need just to come down and say, let me think. Let me try to understand. Let me walk in your shoes for 5 minutes and listen to one another and see what you feel. That's what God wants us to do. Okay? Right. Since we have gifts, verse 6, many differs according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them. Okay. Is that what he said? Each of us is to exercise the gift. God has given each one a gift. You have a gift. Nobody in the Christ, in the body of Christ, have no gift. Each one. And some of them even have, it say impure S. There's a little S at the back. So you have more than one gift. And your gift is to exercise. How do I exercise my gift, God? How do I do this? Okay, I don't like go jogging in the morning. I don't want lifting weights. I don't know. I don't know how to sing, and I don't play an instrument. You have a gift. You do. Take the person next to you. You have a gift. Use it. Okay. Okay, now we're going to look at this. If prophecy, accordingly, if prophecy, then according to the portion of his faith. If your gift is to prophesy, do it according to your faith. Not according to what people think of their fear, of their judgment, of their accusation, of their lack of understanding. You have to do it according to your faith. That's what your gifting is. Without that faith, you can't prophesy. You look at somebody, they cry, and the Lord said about, cry more. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going way too far on that side, you know. What I'm saying is sometimes you get a prophetic word that you don't understand the word right now. And God wants you to do it by faith. That's the very best thing because that's what prophecy is. Okay? Okay. If verse 7, if service, in his serving or he who teaches in his teaching. So if God called you, give you a gift to serve. Okay. Serving. Now let me tell you this. No matter what your gifting is, no matter of the fivefold ministry, teaching, preachers, evangelists, apostle, super NASA pilot, whatever, God wants you to serve. Serving is, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So God has a place for each one to serve. And the question is like, how, where, and when am I doing it? Am I doing it right now? There's a season for you to receive, but there's a season for you now to say, you know what? I'm going to serve. Right? Teach, then teaching. Verse 8, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let me tell you this. What if you can do all these things? What if you can prophesy, you can serve, you can exhort, you can give, you can lead, you can show mercy? Guess what? That's an amazing life. Because that will show in which area in your mind has been renewed, how much you have more of God in your life than to have the mind of Christ. Your God's given gift need to be in action. Service to one another. God's gift in your life need exercise. I put here in my notes, somebody need to do a Zumba exercise. Each of us is to exercise them. Verse 9, let us love without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Realize love here is not a gift, but it's more than an identity. God's love, it's not a gift right now at this level. It's you become your identity in your life. It's who you are. You're created in God's image, and God is love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. That is a huge one. Be devoted to one another. Devoted. I remember when I was growing my 20s, there's a song, Devoted to One Another, something by, I forgot. Right? Give preference to one another in honor. And this is the culture that God wants us to live in. God wants you to say, you know what? I'm going to give you preference. Now, today, everybody live in the opposite side. I want to be the one. I want to be the one who get the preference. But you see, it's when God look at the situation, he see things different. He see your heart. He see where you're going. And this is when the blessing flows. You understand that? Now, we want to give others preference many ways. Even we have started these first campuses, we see others getting blessed by moving into a building. And you know what? It is well with my soul. You understand that? Even some of them has only been 1 year with Cats of Fire. It is well. We want to give it. But the most important thing is like, God sees, not just man sees, but God sees more important. Right? Character, honor, to give preference. That is one thing we need in the body of Christ today. Be able to honor each other and give preference. This is a reverse order, as many people receive because of honor, honoring their position. But honor is to give them preference. Let them be first. Jesus say, the first will be last, the last will be first. Not lagging, verse 11, behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. How many of you serve, people serve the Lord? Oh, God. So, oh, God, if only, no, but that's not what he say. Fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. This is the will of God. This is a perfect will of God. See things different. It is impossible if one cannot rejoice in good days. How could he rejoice in tribulation? If you cannot rejoice in the good days, how can you rejoice when tribulation comes and knock at the door? It's impossible. So we need to start see things different. Contributing to the needs of the saint, practicing hospitality. And I know some of you do have his gift. I can call at least 10 people here in this room who have his gift. So exercise the Zumba hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's a very good one. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And I tell you what, the body of Christ right now needs more rejoicing than weeping. In the midst of the tribulation, if you can rejoice, I rejoice with you all the time. You know, we have party all the time. But who's the one who weep? Well, some people, they don't like to see others be blessed. They weep. You remember the story of the prodigal son? The eldest brother come home when his father is rejoicing. He don't know how to rejoice and he cry out. We need to understand that. Okay? That's when unity flow. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. That's why some, you know, not putting any people down, but we need to do that. We need to do that. going to Fuller's mission is a good place to start. Do not be wise in your own estimation or understanding. Do not see things your ways only. Seek understanding instead of do the talk and listen more. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil. That's a hard one. I'm still working on that one. I'm still exercising this one a lot. Do not pay back evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of man. How many, you understand that? No, we are pastors. We are not perfect. And I want to be vulnerable to you. I don't want to play any games here. I want to be honest, acknowledge my strength, my weakness as well. I tell you, sometimes I struggle with this. When I see evil things, something in me boil. Oh man, oh man. I'm not Pastor John anymore. I have a different hat. I'm John Wayne, not John Tanyan. Okay. I'm glad you love. Unity, respect, understanding, the three important things character in Christian life. Unity, respect, and it's the things that we just talked about. To walk, weep, and cry together, that's unity. Respect and understand. It's a three important character. So how are we going to do that if we do not have communion, relationship with one another? That's the only way. If we want that unity, respect, and understanding, we need to have communion. Without communion, if you are married with someone and you don't spend time together, how are you going to have unity, respect, and understanding? It's hard. And we are one body. And God wants us to spend time with each other. Have communion with one another. Okay? Verse 18, if possible, as far as it depends on you, that's your choice to make. It's your decision. Right? I'm glad that is put there. No pressure, right? Your choice. Be at peace with all men and
women.
Never take your own revenge. Beloved, Bob is laughing at me. Don't do that, Bob. You make me laugh here. No, it's true. You know, we need to put, men and women, son and daughters, husband and wife, fathers and children. Mothers and daughters, as far as depend on you, be at peace with them all. You know what I find sad? We heard people who had a family, they love each other. And when years go by and years goes by, that love dies. And it fade little by little. And by the time they turn into their 80s, they hate each other so much. And sometimes they don't even want to talk to their kids anymore. Every time you mention somebody's name, they just fumes coming out. Sometimes it could be parents, mothers, daughters, father, son. I find it very interesting, very difficult. It's just too sad. Life is too short. Even we don't know how many years we still have. Could be another one more week or one more month. They still live and getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. They cannot have peace. You know, we need to be able to shake this off. We need to be able to live at peace with one another. Let go. Just let go. Don't carry things. When you talk to people like this, I thought to myself, what can I say? What can I help you? How can I explain to you life is not worthy to live, especially when you only have a few years left? It's not worth it. You're wasting your energy. You're wasting your... Move on. And God said this, never take revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. Oh, my goodness. I don't know about this one, but some people have difficulty. Be sure that it, and God said, for it is written. You know, when God said it is written, he said, it's already happened. In the mind, in the understanding of God, this thing, when it says it's written, in God's understanding, it's already done. Guarantee, it's sealed. Won't change anything. So leave that for the Lord, not you. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. For whatever people do to you, they do it unto the Lord. So leave it unto the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. That's communion. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head, or on her head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Be a good and faithful servant. Enter into his rest. Amen? I'm on time. Yahoo! Yes. Okay. Okay. I never knew you're going to flirt. Some of you've been fasting and praying for me about this one, I tell you. Can I tell you a little story? Just my little story, my little joke. There's this, I heard it from Alexandra. She heard it from somebody else, so I'll get it right. Somebody came to the pastor and said, you know all the food we've been eating now today, how, you know, you get all this fast junk food, all this kind of thing. Say, you know, even the restaurant, all this thing, say, everything that we're eating, you know, these are not good food. They are really bad. There's so many bad nutrient and pesticide and everything, and make you fat, and there's so many cholesterol, all this kind of thing. Coffee is not good, that's not good. So she'd go on and on and on and on and on and on. And she said, and then she came to the conclusion, Pastor, I think there's demonic spirit in those food. We need to pray against this demonic. We need to cast them out. And the pastor said, yes. You know, this demon only go out with by fasting and prayer. All right, let's stand and pray. Okay. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to thank you, God, for this time. We want to thank you for Romans chapter 12. It's almost like, Father, you, the Romans, it's talking about the Gentiles. And the 12 represent apostle, the governant. And this is how you want us to rule in this life. This is a number of government. And Father, we want to take this Romans chapter 12, that we can rule this life and how Christ to be glorified and how we serve you in the perfect will and acceptable and good. Father, we thank you, Lord, that this message will not just stay in this morning, but it will keep pressing in the weeks, in the months, in the years to come, God. But every time when we look at this, we will remember this morning. We'll remember what you say to us. And I believe, Father, that the Holy Spirit has spoken, even behind, in between my words and everything, that you reveal it to us. You customize this message to each one of us. Father, we seal this message today. We seal that message that the enemy will not come and steal. In Jesus' name, we bless that word in our life, God. Everybody say, amen. Amen. Yahoo! Time to go home.